His love endures forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I can't help but be struck by that message. It's repeated time after time, over and over, again and again in the pages of Scripture. God loves us. God loves us. God loves you and me and everybody else that we see. It's that song that many of us learned in our first few days in Sunday school, isn't it? Yes, Jesus loves me and everybody else too. But we have to then ask, why does God love? Have you ever stopped to wonder it? It's repeated time after time, but why in the world would God so love the world? Well, it's because it's who he is. That's his core. It's the center of his being. God is love, and he wants us to know that love. So much so that he sent Jesus, God made flesh, to live among us, to teach us, to demonstrate God's love to us, and then to put God's love to its ultimate display. To die on the cross to deal with our sin, the very thing that separated us from God. And when people catch a glimpse of God's love, when they really get a handle on that story, when they come to comprehend what it is that God has done for them, they tend to be overwhelmed by his goodness and grace and respond in faith. Either that or they reject it outright. Because they just simply don't feel worthy of taking God's love, of accepting God's love, or they reject the whole premise that God, if he was good, would ever stop and love a humanity who isn't. Or they don't want to accept that God could exist or that that kind of God could exist, and they don't want to respond to that love. But for those who do glimpse it, those who catch it, everything changes. That's what we see on the day of Pentecost, isn't it? If you read through the story that we did last week, Peter stands up and begins to preach about Jesus. And if you weren't here or you haven't read it, there are copies of the sermon in back, or you're welcome to read Acts 2, starting in verse 14. You're welcome to do that during the sermon if you want to. His sermon's going to be better. I'll just warn you ahead of time. But it is a beautiful and poignant and a story that is worth reading over and over as many times as you can. And Peter's pretty blunt in his language. He tells them, you guys had a hand in killing Jesus. And yet, even though Peter is blunt, the people respond to God's love as they see it in the story of Jesus. In fact, approximately 3,000 people who were listening were touched. They were cut to the heart, and they responded with faith and obedience. They were baptized in his name, and they became part of that community of faith. And for the disciples, everything changed as they continued to grow in that faith, because they were overwhelmed with the love story of God. Everything changed because they figured out we have to respond to God's love. So, how do we respond to the love of God? Well, the first thing is that we have to realize that we love because he first loved us. I want you to say that with me. We love because He first loved us. We love God because... One more time. We love God because... Our response to God's love is to love God in return. But something struck me this week as I was doing the work and studying for this lesson. I started reading and reading some more, and something just jumped out at me. And that something was actually nothing. Explain. Because as you read through the book of Acts, there is a glaring absence of the word love. Not a single time. If you do a word search, it isn't there, not as a noun or an adverb or an adjective. It's simply missing in the pages. The word love is strikingly absent from the first story of the church. The word is missing, but love, what it is, love is there in so many different ways. Because we see a love for God in the story of the first church. And we see a love for one another. That love flows from each page, each paragraph of the church's story here in Acts. And the passage that we read together this morning outlines the love that these followers of Jesus showed. Because we see, as we read, that they began to meet together daily. And they worshiped together. They ate together. They broke bread. They spent time in one another's homes. And then they met up in the temple as well. They shared things in common, going out of their way to sell a possession if that's what it took for a brother and sister who needed help. They worshiped together. They learned from the apostles' teaching together. And they prayed together. They were a community of faith bonded together in love for God and love for one another. Indeed, the church itself is love in the way that they lived and acted and interacted in the world around them. You see, Acts is the second volume of a book, of a series of books created by a guy by the name of Luke. Luke wrote a gospel, and then he wrote the follow-up in Acts. And it's striking in Luke that he rarely ever talks about love. In fact, Jesus only gives two commands of love in the gospel, and then none in Acts itself. Those two commands then break down into love for three different groups. It's love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the first one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then love your enemies. Love God, love others, even those who hate you, because God is love. And when we love, we are reflecting God to the world. And that becomes the rhythm of life for these disciples. That is the change that they are experiencing. These growing disciples learned how to love God and love other people, even when it wasn't easy. And if you go to the pages of Acts 3 and the story as it goes on, it begins to tell of the ways in which the people lived out their love to God. So if you have a Bible in front of you, go ahead and turn it to Acts 3, and you're welcome to just kind of flip through as we look at these first couple of chapters really quickly. Because in Acts chapter 3, the very first thing that happens is Peter and John go towards the temple and they encounter a man who cannot walk. He's just sitting and begging for money, which is what he does every day. And instead of giving him a little bit of cash, they give him healing. They say, in Jesus' name, stand up and walk. And the man could, and he never had before. And the first thing that that man then does is he runs and he jumps and he celebrates and he praises God at the top of his lungs. That man's response to their love was worship and love of God. Peter and John then take the opportunity to preach and to speak about God's forgiveness to the crowds that gather, earning themselves a night in jail and a trial in front of the Sanhedrin. But rather than respond in anger and rage at their situation, they take the opportunity to share hope and salvation with these religious leaders. And more people respond to this message of hope and love, and the number of disciples continues to grow. And the churches respond by taking care of one another more and practicing generosity with each other at the end of chapter 4. And then we find the apostles offering hope and healing to everybody that they encounter. And their ministry continues to bless the lives of the sick and the tormented and the less fortunate. And people take notice. And lives begin to change. And people become angry. In fact, they tell them not to preach. But the disciples then practice peaceful disobedience by continuing to share the good news, saying, "We must obey God rather than human beings." And that statement earned them a beating. But rather than being angry at God or at the Sanhedrin, they respond with love and joy, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. And when the church encountered persecution, they didn't respond with violence, but with compassion. When they had to run for their lives, we continue to see them preach the story of Jesus and God working through them to do amazing things in His name. They continue to worship. They continue to help. They offer hope. They share grace. They give generously. They offer love. And time after time, we find these followers doing what it is that Jesus preached. They loved God. They loved their neighbors, even when their neighbors weren't like them. And they even loved their enemies. That doesn't mean it was easy. I'm sure some wanted to respond with anger or match violence with violence. And I'm certain that love didn't come very naturally for them. You see, the early church struggled to respond to people unlike them becoming Christians, starting with Samaritans and then Gentiles who responded in faith. But they prayed and they searched and they sought God's wisdom and then His forgiveness when they messed up or they missed the mark. Because when you get the gospel, or maybe we should better say, when the gospel gets a hold of you, that theological vision it creates a new reality in the lives of those who believe. Our lives become patterned after Jesus. Our actions become a reflection of His love. Here at West University, we are trying to live into our new vision statement that we've been revealing over the course of the past few weeks. And that is, West University exists because we want to be growing disciples who love God, experience family, and live with purpose. I want you to say that with me. Growing disciples who love God, experience family, and live with purpose. And we want this to form the core of who we are, and we believe it's also what God is calling us to be. And I want you to stop and think for just a moment. What does it mean for us as a church to be growing disciples who love God? You see, throughout this vision casting process, a small group of us gathered together to think about what is at the core of our church. And our job was to discover these core values that make up our identity, these things that we hold to. Now, these core values I'm about to show you five of them, aren't everything that we believe. And they're not an attempt to describe every aspect of who we are. But instead, this was us sitting, trying to just discover what it is that makes us distinct and these aspects that kind of build our identity as a church. And we came up with six total. I'm going to hold one off. I'm going to keep you in suspense. Okay. But today I want to share five of them with you. These are the five values, what I think it means for us to love God. So when we thought about our church, these are the ideas, the values that came to mind. The first thing is we are people who love Scripture. We believe that the Bible is God's story of creating people for communion and seeking to have relationship with them. And throughout the Bible, we believe that God speaks and reveals to us Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and it guides us into a new way of life. And so, in our church, we value reading and reflection and the revelation of God through His Word. We're a church that holds prayer as a core value. That's kind of hard to read, I'm sorry. But we believe that prayer is powerful and effective. That prayer changes our heart, it aligns us more with God, and it draws us into a deeper relationship with Him. Prayer allows us to show our love to God when things seem great and when life seems challenging, when everything seems right and all seems to be going wrong, and everywhere else in between. Through prayer, we can connect more intimately with God and share our hearts with Him because He is present to us. The third core value is that we are a church that believes in grace. That we are people who are sinners, but we have a Savior. We were broken, but we have been made whole. We were lost, but God has found us and brought us home. We were once dead, but now we are alive in Christ. Because in Jesus, we have forgiveness. And we can know true peace and abundant life and fulfilling hope because of God's grace. And because we have experienced the grace of God, then that allows us to extend grace to other people. You see, I think these core values speak of our love for God. We love because why? You're still awake. That's awesome. We love because He first loved us. We are people who worship because God is worthy of praise. We are people who pray because we want to speak with the one who loved us. We are people who read because we believe the Bible reveals God's love to us. And because God first loved us, then we want to love others because of that love. We want to share God's love with our church family because this is a place where we want you to belong, where you can find hope and a home. We also want to then share it with our neighbors because God has placed us here in this community to reveal His glory to those who need to see it. We're going to come back to those two over the course of the next 2 weeks. But I want you to think about the question I asked us just a moment ago. What does it mean for our church to be growing disciples who love God? Or maybe we should make it a little bit more personal. What does it mean for you to be a growing disciple who loves God? What does that look like in your life? How do you show your love to God? I've asked three different people in our church to just kind of quickly share that idea. They can tell me why it is that they love God and then how it is that they show that love to God. So I'm going to walk around the room and come to them. It's too cold to get up, right? So we're going to start with Oscar. Oscar, tell me about why you love God and how you show that love to God.
Well, without God, there seems to be no real purpose in life. It seems to be just a series of events, one after another. With God, there's really meaning to my life, and I'm no longer afraid of death like I had been for such a long time because I know where I'm going when all of this ends. I show my love to God. I read the Bible every day, even though I have a zillion excuses every day to do something else. I pray all the time. When people greet me and ask me how I am, I respond with, "I am blessed," even though sometimes that's kind of awkward. At grocery stores and restaurants, greeters and people who are serving me, I say at the end, "God bless you." And then I try to show joy in every day. From the moment I wake up to the time I go to bed. I mean, with knowing that God is inside me and I see God all around me, how else could I be except for joyful all the time?
So because God's love has driven out fear, there's no fear of death, no fear of pain, no fear of the future, we can have hope and joy and love. And I love that you tell people, and you tell me all the time, that you are blessed, and I love hearing that. I'm going to ask Lauren next. Lauren, tell me, why do you love God, and how do you show that love to God?
Well, I love God because things and unconditional love are two things that are really important to me. And God made me, and He made us, He made everything I love, and He gives me His love daily. Everything I have because of Him. So I love Him because of that. So I try to live my life, thankfully, and emotional. You know, like
looking at him and every small or large thing, knowing that he gave it to me, and he didn't have to. And he gave me his son.
And it begins to just touch our hearts and change our lives. And so thank you for just being honest with that as that happened. It's amazing what God's love has done for us. And when we stop and we think about it, it's overwhelming, isn't it? That God would love us that much. Stanley, I'm going to take you last.
Why do I love God? He gives us everything that we could ever need. He gives us that hope. He gives us that peaceful knowing that through this hard life, through this world of chaos, that we know where we're going, and he has set a place for us, and that he has given us our son, and that we are blessed even if we don't have the physical things here, that we're building that grand mansion up in heaven for us to be with our Lord every day. How do I show my love of God is hopefully I would say through my actions that I try to, I know I'm pretty new here, but if you see me, I'm always trying to crack a joke, trying to keep everything a little bit upbeat, because it always seems like a laugh takes the cares and worries away. And I really, really think that growing up as an adult is it's an obstacle, because being a kid was great. You didn't have to worry about anything. And so just to kind of put that childlike thoughts back in there and really think about God, and a lot of our decision makings are yes and no, but I would say hopefully through example, just showing that there is a light inside and that God is that light.
So how can you show your love to God? Because I'm going to take Peter in his sermon in Acts chapter 2, and he's really just quoting the prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2 at his word, that all of us are called, both men and women, to pray and to prophesy about what it is that you think God is calling you to do to love God, to dream dreams, to have visions. What would it look like for you to love God? The way I want to show my love to God, some of the ways I do that is I do that through singing. I sound better in the shower than I do in person. I think most of us do. And who cares what you sound like one way or the other? But through me, I love to sing songs that sing about God's glory. I love to write. I write out some of my prayers to God, and I love to just write about what it is that God is doing. I hope that my love for God is shown in the way that I encourage other people because of the joy I have. What would it look like for you to show your love to God? Here are some ways I would love for our congregation to do it. I would love for our church to be a place where all ages, the young and young at heart, can create authentic relationships where we care for one another and share life together. I'd love for our church to be a place where we create an atmosphere of worship that's less about our preferences than it is about helping people praise God wholeheartedly. That's a beautiful thing. I would love for our church to be a place where people can bring the questions of life, both the things that they just don't understand or the things they're wrestling with, and about God and faith, and this can be a place where they can open up to that. I want us to be a church that doesn't just exist for itself. I don't think we do. But to exist for those who aren't here yet, those who need to come to know God. I want us to be a place that expends our energy to share God's love story with the people that we meet. And the ways that we speak and serve and the ways that we live and love through our actions and our interactions, may we share the love of God with the people we meet. That's what I would love to see for our church. And we can do that. We show our love to God. We love God because why? Because he first loved us. And he made that love known through this event. As God became flesh to live and to dwell among us, to teach us, to show us, and then to take our sins upon himself on the cross. God says, this is how much I love you. And as Jesus raised from the dead to show us death, holds no fear, that we can have hope. God shows his love through what Christ did. One way in which you can show your love to God is just to thank him for this event. Tell him thank you for what Jesus has done. If you've been a Christian for 70 years, we still need to thank God for what Jesus has done. And if you haven't become a Christian yet, one way in which you can thank God is just to say, you know what, I want this story to become my story. I want to take Christ as my Lord and Savior. But God loves you because God is love. And God wants you to know that love. Regardless of who you are and where you've been, what you might have done, God loves you. He knows all those things and he loves you anyway. He just wants you to know that you can be his child today. We're going to offer this time of invitation. If there's anything that we can pray about for you, there's anything going on that you want to make known in whatever way you want, as open or as generic as you want that to be, we would love to pray over that. Or if today you say, this is the day I want to make Jesus my Savior, we would love to introduce you to Christ. If today you say, I just need to be encouraged, we would love to encourage you, to pray over you, to bless you, that you might know his peace or his joy or his blessing this morning. If you want to respond, you're welcome to. But may we sing about the greatness of God and his love together this morning. Let's worship.